Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, where are you going to be later?
That's an interesting question. And more than likely at work, where I always am. But just in case, I should probably have a plan for how people can check up on me and how I can check up on folks. And every time something horrible happens in the news, as it did yesterday in Florida, I'm struck anew about, ew, I have to do that, and haven't really done it to the extent that I need to. And I know it's a frustrating thing. I remember when I was younger and starting to drive, and my mother said, okay, don't forget to call and check in with me if you're going to be late because I want to make sure nothing's happened to you. My flip response was always, I carry plenty of ID, so if something happens to you, the state police or somebody will, you know, call and let you know. She did not think that was funny then. As a mother, I don't think it's all that funny now. But I get, you know, I get it from both sides. You know, as a kid, you sort of feel like you don't want to always have to be checking. I'm fine. I'm safe. As an adult, you have that and other things to worry about. And so it would be nice if there were one less thing for you to worry about, which is, do I know my family members safe? Out here in California, we live in earthquake country. And so the public safety people are always saying, look, because the phone lines may be down, because things may be chaos when the big one inevitably strikes, make sure you have someone out of state that you can check in with and tell other people to check in with, because in state, the lines may not work, but you may be able to get cross country. And you're going to feel a lot better knowing that the headcount in your family is what it's supposed to be.
And I just want to interject here because we had a situation, everyone remembers 9/11. And at that time, and this is why it's relevant, the 917 numbers, there were different, certain area codes worked, certain didn't, and 917s
right.
didn't work. And right. once again, reason I mention it is my sister happened to be in school at that time, but no one could one just assumes that you'll be able to use the usual means. And that's why it's absolutely critical to know that there are certain days when there is no power and there's certain days when there's no phone and someone's got to be able to find you.
And there's times actually when phones don't work or calls don't work, but texts work. So all these people that say, I never use texting. I don't even know how to do it. Maybe that's a good reason to learn how to text or to learn how to receive a text, because it could be a life-saving message.
And I totally agree with that. I just think that, you know, we are how many years on from, we're at least a decade and a half on from 9/11.
Almost two decades, almost 20 years and a good.
So we got
10 years worth of cell phone use.
Exactly. And we're also a good 10 years away from when there was a massive power outage in New York. And most people are converted to cell phone. Most people don't live in the, when I say the country, I just mean outside a major, a place where cell service.
Metropolitan grid.
Right.
Yeah.
But what they forget is that unless they can charge their phones, they are useless.
Right.
And
right.
No one has landline. I mean, many things have evolved, and it's all great until you get down to the actual basics. And I'm going to translate
you
this.
Realize things don't work because you haven't planned for them to, yes.
Right. And I'm going to get down to the basics of, I'm going to use animals instead. When I did move outside a metropolitan area with my dogs, I was like, we're in the country. Yay. You can run free. Right? Because that's one of the problems with the dogs in cities is they're constrained.
Sure.
Well, guess what? They
you
did.
Run free, but I can't always find you.
Every tree looks alike when you're...
Yeah.
And again, it's all fine until you need to find someone. So people right. also, and this goes straight to the heart of people, is like, it's not just I don't need to check in, but it's I don't use my phone, I don't text, I don't.
Keep it charged, and so when I really, really need it, yeah. I can't use it.
So it's yeah. basically, it's on everybody, which I assume is your point. It is on everybody to have someone somewhere know where they are supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. And also to be able to check in with people who, like, you know, great-grandma may not necessarily do that herself, but somebody needs to check in and make sure that she's okay. So even if you, you know, if you add somebody to your check-in list, not just you, but, you know, an elderly person or a shut-in person or something, that's a help.
And I will just add, you know, again, here we have lots of people who are no longer 16 and who, who need to be checked on. And so it's an automatic, but one forgets that when one's not in that sort of environment, that there are people who are by themselves and who aren't able to do X, Y, Z. It's almost like a buddy system. People on the planet that they should just find a buddy and another person who doesn't have one, and then just make it their spot. As somebody used to say, their responsibility.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll get a little pushback. You know, maybe grandma goes, I'm just fine. I've been living on this earth for 82 years, and I'm okay. You don't need to look after me. Don't listen. Do it anyway.
Yeah. I have found that every single person of a certain age who has said, leave me alone, has secretly been gratified that that they were checked on, or that someone dropped bread off, or that, you know, they got that, sorry, this is ancient, but phone call. They really like phone yeah. calls. Don't text grandma. I mean, you can teach her or him
yes,
to text,
she'll
of course.
Be mightily amused, maybe, but she'd really like to hear your voice
yeah.
at the other end. You know, and it's not just for natural disasters. It's not just for forest fires or for earthquakes or for floods or, God forbid, you know, unnatural disasters like 9/11. If you know someone who lives alone or who's not super social and you have them on your checkoff list, you can make sure that they're okay just in general. You know, they may sort of fuss about, oh my God, I'm fine. Hang up the phone. Go do something fun. But you're right. I think secretly they appreciate the fact that somebody's not going to find them dead on the floor if something happens. And I know people who had, like, food poisoning, who just happened to have been checked up on and who got help because they weren't up to dragging themselves, you know, to the door to go off to urgent care. But because somebody hadn't heard from them in a couple of days, it's just like, I'm going to just sort of come over there and bang on your door, and got them straight. So it doesn't have to be a huge catastrophe, but it's nice to know that people care about what happened to you.
Right. And again, I think that this is more taken for granted. it shouldn't be. It's more taken for granted in a rural environment where your neighbors aren't necessarily right next door to you as they are in an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, the same degree of, when you see a neighbor's mail piling up outside, you know, should
yeah.
you?
Yeah, duh.
Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing here. If you're driving by so-and-so's house, you know, at some point, and no one likes being checked up unexpectedly, so you need some sort of relationship. But it's sort of comforting to know that someone's going to be there. I, you know, we just had it the other day with weather, you know?
Yeah.
Someone, oh, we can't get down there. Someone's got to be pretty devoted to want to walk on ice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if they're not there to take care of it, that's something that it's just, I mean, it's just on a human level. It's just on someone else to care.
Well, and maybe it goes back to that village that we thought we all belonged to at one point, and now apparently few people pay a whole lot of attention to. Maybe it's time to sort of, you know, tighten up that circle a little bit and get back to just checking on the people that are closest to us.
And I want to just go off just a little bit. This is more of a question, an opinion. I'm just curious about your view of this. So recognizing that it is opinion. Do you think that if you see something that is disturbing, do you think that you have a responsibility to say something about it?
Give me an example.
You're flipping through your social media feed and somebody says, you know, I just really want to just do something. I'm really not happy. I'm really miserable.
And I want to do something to myself?
I want to harm myself. I want to do something to so-and-so. But,
This is the upside of social media. You know, that there's a lot about social media that's aggravating, but I have seen literally people write messages like that saying, oh, you know, if tomorrow's like today, I can't make it. I can't do it. I don't even know why I'm still here on earth, whatever. And you get this flood of response from people, some of whom they know, some of whom they don't, saying, whoa, you know, let's hold on just a minute. It's not going to be as bad as you think. Where are you? I can either get to you or I can have a friend get to you. You don't have to struggle through this by yourself. Kids who are being bullied who talk about this say that they get a bunch of support from these. It's like, I didn't even know they liked me. It's like, yeah, they like you and they care about you and they don't like bullies and they're willing to publicly shame a bully for doing this to you. You have support. So I think that when you see things like this, if you can step in and help, do. Certainly if you hear somebody say, you know, I'm so mad at my boyfriend, my mother-in-law, my whatever, I'm going to get a gun and go over there, and I'll probably just scare her, but, you know, you don't know. I think you have a moral obligation, if you know where that person is, to call the authorities in that area and say, listen, this person's promising to do harm to another person. It's on social media, and maybe it's not serious, but you should check into this.
All right, because I have always been a huge proponent of getting involved, and I know people who, I'm not talking about on social media, I'm just talking about in general, and I know people who have, you know, tried, and even I've tried, and some people haven't welcomed the interaction at all, but
I
think that that's just a small price to pay.
And think of how you'd feel if that person actually did what they threatened to do, you know, went over to the mother-in-law's house and blew her head off or kidnapped a child or, you know, it's like if I can help prevent that, even though it's going to make me massively uncomfortable, then I feel like that's what I need to do.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
Go check on somebody.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.